How's it going, everybody? We're back with another episode of the Houston Rockets Collective. It's been fun since the last time we recorded. The Rockets have gone 2-1. They beat Cleveland out in Ohio. Shangoon walked down Mobley. He was cutting up. They did lose the in-season tournament game to the Denver Nuggets. But recently, they just beat Phoenix. It was a fun Dylan Brooks reunion. So we're going to get into all of that and more. Before we start, I'm going to jump to my boy B. Scott for Prize Picks.
Yeah, let me tell y'all about Prize Picks, man. It's the best place to win cash while watching sports. The app is really easy to use. To make a lineup, all you have to do is pick more or less on a few player stats. You can play Prize Picks in over 40 states, including California and Texas. And best of all, Prize Picks will give you $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. So that's win or lose. You'll get $50 in lineups. Basketball season, NBA season, Rocket season, obviously, is here, and there is no better time to get in. Just use promo code Rockets and download the app now. Prize Picks is good to be right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. On a Houston Rockets note, again, the Houston Rockets are 11-4. Currently going off pivot fade. They're second in net rating. First in offensive rating still. And the defense, you know, it's working its way up. It's still in the top 10. But I would jump to you first, Will. Like, what do you think? 15 games in, again, we went 2-1 since the last episode we recorded. I guess you can speak on any single topic, but 15 games in, like, how are you feeling?
I wish we didn't lose to Detroit and to the Spurs. That's really it. I just wish we didn't lose to those two teams. I think that an L to the Thunder and an L to the Nuggets, especially when we were, I'll say short-staffed, right? We're not as completely healthy as we could be, you know? And I'll credit the Thunder. I mean, not the Thunder. The Nuggets, say they were also not. Well, shit, the Thunder weren't either. Neither team were, you know, at full health, you know? But those are still two amazing teams, and we're an amazing team as well, but we were also short-staffed. I wish we would have beat Detroit and San Antonio. And Detroit's, they're 15-2 right now at the time of this recording. Yeah. Best team in the East. They've been really good this year, but I don't know. Respectfully, I think that we're better than them, and that's no disrespect to their team at all. I think they're an amazing team, but I think we're just better. And then I think we're just flat out better than the Spurs. Like, I don't really like adding qualifiers on that. We're just better than the Spurs, and so losing to those two teams kind of sucks. But I say all the time, man, it's a long season for a reason. You're gonna lose games to teams you shouldn't lose. You're gonna beat teams you shouldn't beat. And so for me, it's just about making sure that we don't have too many more of those L's that we're not supposed to have, and, you know, more than the wins we're not supposed to have. And so for me, it's just like moving forward. We have a pretty light schedule after this Warriors game. Win all of them. Just go ahead and make sure you handle business in all these upcoming games. And that kind of can offset the fact that you, because like the Nuggets L in a vacuum isn't that crazy. It's just the fact that you, this should be a team that should be pushing 60 wins, right? And so you, what were you, 12-4 right now, 10-4?
11-4.
Okay, I said all but the right answer. So like, yeah, I want to push 60 wins. So you want to win some games to make up for the fact that you lost to the Nuggets. So that's just my immediate takeaway.
Yeah.
How about you, man? I got a tough time complaining right now, guys. Like, there are plenty of things to complain about and to pick apart. And that's part of the reason why we do these podcasts and the shows that we do, respectively. But man, I mean, 11-4, 15 games in. You got the highest rated offense in basketball. You've climbed your way back up the top five in defense. And that was a question that we had, or a complaint that we had early on in the season, that the defense didn't necessarily quite look exactly the way that we wanted it to look. And then over time, that's corrected itself. And then the warts on the season that Will is talking about, they are the obvious warts, is the loss to the Pistons the second game of the season. And then the NBA Cup game that he's talking about against the Spurs. But at the same time, man, like, look at that. Like, okay, so your four losses are against the champs in overtime by one. Still to this day, one of the best games that's been played in the season so far, if not the best. The first game. Then against a Pistons team, which you can argue, like, we're kind of doing a little bit of a Spider-Man meme thing with the Pistons right now in terms of, like, just the development and trajectory. It's not exactly the same, but they are kind of an Eastern Conference parallel. And then look at what they're doing. You cited their record. It's, you know, the best in the Eastern Conference. And then to their credit, man, they outplayed the Rockets that night. Like, they just flat out did. And so that was a tip to cap moment. The Spurs, I agree with you, Will. Rockets are better than the Spurs. But in another tip to cap moment, man, they talk about beating you at your own game and kind of just serving it up to you, like the all of that offensive rebounding and everything that the Spurs were about that night. Like, as much as it pained me to watch, I was like, man, the Spurs went out there and earned this game. So, like, obviously you want the Rockets to be on the right side of that history and to be the ones to earn that game. But the warts of the season are games where I got to tip my hat to the opponent. And then outside of that, it's just hard to complain about. Again, best offense in the league, top five in defense, only behind Oklahoma City in overall net rating, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Overall net rating just behind Oklahoma City. Like, they're right there. And then, of course, the Nuggets loss that you mentioned, you know, is another one that I feel like you can kind of take. I was in the building for that one. And, you know, then I love those Shingun turnovers at the end. You know, and you want your best player to be better in moments like that. But, you know, by and large, he has been. So, you know, it's just like, okay, I can take that against one of the better teams in the league, man. I got very little to complain about.
Yeah, I'll say this. As Will mentioned, you want to be on a 61 pace in this Western Conference. You don't want to see both OKC and Denver in the playoffs. So ideally, you want to get a 2 spot and pray it'll have to be Denver, you know, fall to the 4th seed. But yeah, right now, definitely on pace for 60 at 11-4. That's very promising. You know, you got KD averaging around 25, Shangoon. I mean, every game has had at least 5 assists, 5 boards. I mean, before this year, no center had ever done that before. Through 15 games. So he's playing spectacular, averaging 22, 10, and 7 at the moment. So you take that. Amen Thompson stepping up lately. He's been solid. Reed Shepard, most importantly, has come alive. It was looking rough, as we've mentioned, to start the year. But this month, he's putting together spectacular splits. And his passing in that last game specifically was the best I've seen him pass. So I'd imagine that's only going to get better as the season progresses. So, yeah, you know, you learn from the beginning of the season to the end of the year. And I can tell you have a young team. You're only going to get better as the season goes on. And that's the best part, in my opinion, about having a young team, because there's so much growth to be had. And that's what we've seen from Oklahoma City. They're such a young team. They're only going to get better. And that's what we're seeing this year. They're like, what, 17-1 or something like that. But yeah, this Rockets team, they have a good young core 5. They're going to improve on a game-to-game basis. And I like that we're seeing that from Reed. You know, Shangoon's taking strides. Tari was looking really good, you know, from shooting a 3 to start the year. Amin, but we'll see him continue to grow. I'm probably missing someone. Jabari. Hit the open 3s, but he's had some moments where he's really came alive as well. So I think the team is really looking good right now. Of course, everyone's going to mention you got to beat the teams that are good. We mentioned we lost to OKC by 1, lost to Detroit by 4. Those teams have 3 combined losses, so really good teams. Denver should have beat, you know, they didn't have Aaron Gordon, Christian Braun. You know, of course, we're not completely healthy as well, but that's a winnable game, especially at home. And then the San Antonio game, yeah, that one they let slip away from them. They were dominating in that first half and then folded. But yeah, it's 4 losses against 4 good teams. I prefer that. They're taking care of business against bad teams, undefeated against teams with a bottom 15 net rating. That's good. Take care of the bad teams, and that's how you stay at the top of the standings. So yeah, again, you have to be content with 11-4, especially when you lose Fred VanVleet for the year and everyone was concerned. So you take 11-4 and you take the growth you've seen from Reed Shepard and you build on that. So I like what I'm seeing. So that's how
yeah.
I feel.
Yeah. And I think the Reed Shepard point is a big one. Like, you know, not knowing exactly what to expect, but knowing that you could at the very least expect more of a role and more responsibility on him and how he would handle that. And the fact that, like, it's not every night, but I mean, we've talked about him plenty now already. And it's starting to look like, I even made the point, and I know his numbers weren't great, and it wasn't necessarily a great game against Phoenix, but like the passing that you mentioned, and like there just are moments where it's like, okay, he looks ready for what exactly. Like in the moment, I'm like, man, it looks like he's ready to be in the starting lineup if you want to put him there. But like whatever it is, he's ready to be like a vital part of this rotation one way or another.
No, I 100% agree. We can move on to the next topic if y'all want to. That last game was extremely fun. Dylan Brooks, first time seeing him since the trade. Of course, KD is attending to a family matter, so he didn't play. Jalen Green is still nursing that hamstring injury. So of that trade, it's just Dylan Brooks. And it was all smiles after the game. Everyone was hugging each other. Definitely a feel-good moment. But the game was really fun. I really enjoyed watching it. Suns fans think there's beef. There's no beef there. But it was fun. It's fun watching the game. So what did y'all think? We'll start with Will.
I miss Dylan Brooks, man. Like, that's that's the biggest takeaway for me from that Suns game. I said it probably 20 different times at this point in time. I'll just keep saying it. I was wrong about Dylan Brooks, man. I did not want to sign him. Did not want him on this team for a vet minimum contract. I thought it was a bad culture fit. I thought it was a bad fit from a, like, personnel perspective. We didn't have the best spacing, and he was shooting, I want to say, like, 32% from three before we picked him up. And yeah. I watched a lot of those Grizzlies playoff series where he shot him out the series, especially that Warriors series in 2022. I'm not going to say the Grizzlies win that series, but I'll tell you they have a better chance of doing so if Dylan didn't shoot out the game. I think it was, like, game 4 or 5 where he just, like, completely took over from a scoring perspective, and it wasn't in a good way. So, yeah, I wanted to do with Dylan Brooks. I wanted to know what that business whatsoever, and I was pretty vocal about that. And then he came to the team, and I was, like, a month in. I'm like, I think I'm just wrong. Like I think this guy's just good, you know. And a lot of that is, you know, me feeding into the narrative. I didn't watch every Grizzlies game, so, I can't comment on everything that happens in Memphis. But, like, the narrative surrounding him was this is a guy who can't come back under any means necessary. And, like I said, he shoots you out of playoff series. He's talking and not necessarily backing it up on the court. And then he comes to Houston, like I said, just completely rewrites that narrative about himself, where the narrative about him being a bad teammate couldn't have been further from the truth. I credit him a lot immediately with the defensive improvements I saw from the entire team, but more specifically in Jabari and Tari. I think the way we saw Amen Thompson play defense yesterday, who do you think he gets that from? He gets that from Dylan, you know? Like, there's a lot of that stuff you see. Like, it's funny that Dylan kind of went into the post-game press conference and was complaining about Houston's physicality. And I was like, Dylan, who do you think they got that from? where did you
was
think
he was he from? Being serious in that post-game press?
Probably not. You know,
yeah, I think he was trolling.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, if we got that from you, bro. Like, that came from, like, that intensity on the defensive end was Ime and Dylan Brooks. So, like, obviously that immediately translated. And then I don't think anybody saw it. Maybe sans Brad saw the fact that he was going to shoot as well as he did from three for the Rockets for the last two seasons, because I think he was, like, 32-33% as a career. Maybe he might even be lower than that.
He took way too many. Yeah, he took way too many off the dribble threes at Memphis. He was 36% catch and shoot. So
even then, that's still not the greatest. 36. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so he shot 40% last year. So
he did.
Didn't see him being that good of a shooter coming to Houston. But obviously, when he came here, he elevated his play, and, like, it got to the point where I said it plenty of times, if Dylan had his feet squared and caught the ball in rhythm, I thought he was making it. Like, respectfully, I thought he was going in every time he shot the ball. And, I mean, we saw yesterday, not just, like, from the three-point perspective, but definitely from that mid-range perspective, he was cash. And that was another thing, too. Like, I did not like Dylan's shot selection inside the arc and, you know, outside the paint for a huge chunk of his time in Houston. And then, like, halfway through last season, I was just like, you know what, bro? The shot's going in, and respectfully, our offense isn't the greatest anyway. So if we're going to get 2 points – from a Dylan Brooks fadeaway, I mean, like, I guess, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I ended up liking that shot. I said it. He was, I think he was our most consistent perimeter scorer. I think the highs from, like, Jalen were definitely higher, and from Fred were definitely higher. But in terms of consistency, what you could expect on a night in and night out basis, I think it was definitely Dylan. I think he's an argument to be the most consistent scorer on the team, period. You know, it's out of him and Shingon. And so seeing that guy go, just the teammate that he was and the guy he was to the Houston community and to the locker room, like, that made me very sad to see him go. And then, like I said, he went out and performed at a high level just yesterday. And he's been on the tear this so far this season and his increased opportunity in Phoenix. And so, yeah, man, he's a guy who, like, I really, really wish there was a way we could have got KD and kept Dylan. I think, can you imagine Dylan Brooks on this current Rockets team, dude? Like, it'd be crazy, bro. So, yeah, best of luck to him in Phoenix, obviously. I'm glad he's able to thrive over there. He's the kind of guy who, like, he's going to go down in, like, my pantheon of, like, favorite Rockets players just because of how much he meant to this team these last 2 years. So, shout out to Dylan.
And, Brandon, before you go, I'll just rattle off his stats in the last six games. Dylan is averaging 25.7 points in the last six games for the Suns, 2.2 steals on a 61 true shooting percentage. 20 shots a game, by the way. So, he's definitely been hooping for sure.
Yeah. So, I like what Will said at the end about imagining him on this team. Because that's what I was going to leave with was, you know, Will says how he misses Dylan Brooks. I, too, miss Dylan Brooks and would echo a lot of what you said about the initial reaction to him signing with the team. I was not a fan of it, not high on it at all. I did get to be around it a little bit early and could see like that some of that effect that he was having on some of the younger players and just how he and Ime Udoka seem to be cut from the same cloth as well, even though, you know, Dylan is known for some of the theatrics and some of the sideshow stuff that's associated with him and his brand. And Ime is very, like, more so direct. They, you know, when it comes to ball, they were kind of cut from the same cloth. He was kind of like Ime on the court a lot of times. And so it's kind of to your point, too, about him being maybe their most well-rounded perimeter scorer. I think there were stretches there when he was here where he was their most well-rounded player because of what he also brought you on the defensive end. Now, I don't think he was as great of a defender here as maybe as his reputation.
Yeah.
But I still, liked having him out there on defense, like, even though it wasn't necessarily as good as maybe you expected or wanted it to be. So yeah, I think about that, not just the fact that you and I miss Dylan Brooks. I wonder how much that team actually misses Dylan Brooks as good as they're doing. You know, we talked about it just a moment ago in our season overview, how it's hard to complain about 11-4. But I feel like they're an even better team if Dylan Brooks is on the team, you know, just because of what he brings, both tangibly and intangibly. You know, that to me, there are things that you can measure, which, you know, the three-point shooting, you talked about it, Will. Like, those are some of the tangible things that he brings to you, like his game. And then some of the stuff that maybe you can't really see or measure that I thought was evidenced in, like, the love that he got from his teammates. And, I mean, I know y'all saw – obviously, I watched the game, and it was all over social media of, like, you know, the hugs and dap. And, you know, that funny-ass moment with Ime, you know, after Steven Adams – or after he checked Steven Adams – and I think that was the one, right? And then Ime kind of jumps in there.
Yeah, that was
like he's gonna bark at him, but he can't even hold, like, he breaks character immediately and can't even hold a straight face because he's like, come on, man, we're about the same thing. Like, you know, this is basically what we do. So yeah, man, like, I wish Dylan Brooks the best, and, you know, kind of echo some of what Will said. It would have been good to have him. I will say this though about the game, you know, about his performance and some of the points that Will was making about him, like out at Memphis and sometimes even here, it was very much a Dylan Brooks kind of game, you know, like where he's like, man, I got the green light. I'm chucking it up there. I'm getting my shots up, you know, and honestly, I thought it played into the Rockets' hands. Not that they wouldn't have been good enough to beat Phoenix anyway, who was playing well coming into the game, but like, give me the strategy of let's devote our attention to Devin Booker and making sure that he doesn't go off, and let's let Dylan Brooks have, you know, one of his better nights of the season. Like, I'm with that. You know, I can, from a Rocket standpoint, I can rock with that. So, but as far as Dylan Brooks goes, it was good to see him out there and good to see them all kind of interact for the first time.
He did something yesterday when I went back and watched the game that reminded me a lot of his time in Houston on the defensive end, because I think Dylan, when he came into the league, he was definitely like one of the best. Has he ever made an all-defensive team? I don't think he has he?
That's a great question.
I don't think he has.
I don't think he's ever
made it. Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think he has.
But what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. His reputation in a – from like when he first came into the league as a defender was
second
that he
team,
was
second team, not to cut
he
you
made
off.
Second, second team. Second what year was it, like 2019?
It says he was second team in 2023.
Wow, so the year we signed him.
Okay.
Well, nice. Okay. Like, I should know that. Yeah, I don't remember that either. No, I feel like I should.
The media just like scrubbed that from existence.
But like, even still though, like, I do my due diligence when we signed guy. I feel like I should have, like, I should, like, if it was the year we signed him, I feel like I should know that. But regardless, my point was, is that before he came to Houston, especially when he first came into the league, mm-hmm. and his calling card was literally just playing defense, he was one of the better defenders in the league on the perimeter in terms of locking up opposing's best offensive players. Like, that was definitely his calling card. Now, as he got older and his game expanded and his team started asking him to do more offensively, you saw his defense kind of take a decline. And I think you saw that definitely a lot more his last year in Houston, where his defense wasn't even as good as it was the previous year. And I think a huge part of that was because he was being asked to do more on the offensive end. It's hard. I mean, we're watching Amen Thompson do it. It's hard to be one of the, like, the go-to guys on offense and then also go out there and lock up LeBron for a full game. It's pretty difficult to do that. Now, I think even with that being said, I think his point of attack defense is still pretty stout. It, you know, like it ranges from like good to like great at times. Like there was the possession at the start of the game where he just like shut down Amen Thompson by himself. I think where Dylan's biggest weakness on the defensive end is one thing I watched when I went back and rewatched it is he is not a good off-ball defender. And it's not because he sucks off-ball. It's because Dylan Brooks wants to get in the play. He wants to help defense everything. It does not matter if he's, for example, guarding Buddy Hield in an elimination game seven, who is Buddy Hield really can't do too much on the ball, but off that ball, catch and shoot, he's a demon. And that's how I think he had like 30, 31 points in that game seven.
I feel like he didn't miss in that game. I don't think he did.
25 of that 30 was on Dylan. And it wasn't because Dylan was out there getting splacked on. It's because Dylan was cheating the entire game. And I saw that a lot. Yeah, a lot of those Aaron Holiday and Reed Shepard threes, them Jabari Smith threes, they came because Dylan was cheating. And like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? It's Alperen Şengün. You don't want to give him one-on-one opportunities, but you surround Alperen Şengün with shooters. And I didn't even know this until I looked it up. We are actually number one in 3-1 percentage right now, which is pretty crazy. So, yeah, that's kind of how you lose. You get a 6-10. Was that what he shot? Aaron Holiday shot from three yesterday, like 6-10 from three or something like that?
I have it pulled up. He shot. My scroll is being slow. Yeah, he shot 6-10.
Yeah, so 6-12, so 50% from three. Yeah, that's how you get those type of nights. And I just wanted to like to take away from Dylan, just more so to contextualize why like his defense for the Rockets last season. It was a lot of what you saw yesterday, where he's really good from a scoring perspective and he's really good point of attack, but because he's so eager to get back into the play on defense, he's not the most attached guy off ball, and it sometimes hurts a team. So. But he's a great player, though. I don't want that to come off as me saying he's not a great. I once again would take him back on the Rockets in a heartbeat. I was very sad to see him go.
I had to pull up my tweet when it was pretty much evident that the Rockets were going to sign Dylan Brooks in the offseason. Reading the comments was pretty funny. It was around 75 comments, and I think 60 of them were calling me crazy. But oh, no, he was 6-10. You said what?
Yeah, I said Holiday was 6-10. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 6-10. But yeah, I mean, I pulled the stats. Like Dylan Brooks, he was 100th percentile in perimeter defense, matchup difficulty, screen navigation, off-ball defense, and basketball index. That, and he would have been the third best catch-and-shoot player on the team going into the year if the Rockets had signed him. So I was like, off that loan, sign me up. Because, again, the Rockets were the worst shooting team in the league. They desperately needed some defensive wings. So just off that alone, I thought it could work. But, again, I knew he would have had to prove himself, and he did, and he became a fan favorite pretty quickly. And it's cool to see the exact same thing is happening in Phoenix. You know, he's quickly become a fan favorite. Their defense was like bottom five in the league last year, and now it is top 10. Of course, that is a testament to Dylan Brooks. They did make some roster improvements, but a huge part is the culture change and Dylan Brooks. You know, you have to have a guy like that to get everybody in that defensive mode. And, of course, that's definitely Dylan. So shout out to him. But outside of that, the game was definitely fun. Houston had a 15-point lead, and they let Phoenix hang around for a little, but it was good to, you know, I think they got him out of there for sure in that fourth quarter. They went on a quick little run. And we talked about Aaron Holiday, like, going into the year before the Fred injury, the Rockets had 14 people on the roster, by the way. Aaron had to be the 12th guy in that 14. And for him to come in, you know, you got a few guys hurt, and now it's time to play. Do the math for me, Will. I think that's right. I think just Jeff Green and Jayson Tate behind him. But yeah, he comes in and he's.
I mean, JD's not on the 15-man roster.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he's 2-man. He's 2-man.
Yeah, so he'd be 12.
Yeah, so for your 12th guy, again, let me know if I'm wrong.
It's because Fred's not playing. That's why it didn't sound right. Fred's not.
Yeah,
playing,
yeah. So he would be 11. Yeah, but going into the year with Fred healthy, he would have been 12. But for your ideally 12th guy to come in, and just hoop, like he's shooting, he's averaging 12 this year when he plays, 48% from three this season. It's like instant offense, catch and shoot threes. It's huge for this team. It's so important to have depth in this league. You're missing not only DFS, but you're missing Tari Eason. You're down a bunch. You're down KD. You're down three wings, and it's no big deal. You still beat a team that's been on a roll, and I know Phoenix is pretty injured as well, of course, right now. But you beat them by 22. That's a really impressive win, in my opinion. A lot of people thought Houston couldn't win games this year without Kevin Durant. So I'm happy for the guys for stepping up. And this will transition us into Amen Thompson.
Wait, actually, can I? If you don't mind, I want to skip to Aaron Holiday to piggyback off something that you just said. Because
go ahead.
One of the things that I said a lot this summer, and like I'm not gonna sit here and pretend myself like I get everything right when it comes to this basketball take stuff. I don't. Anyone who says they did was lying. But like, this is something that I have been saying like since the summer, and I do kind of want like that full circle moment to come to fruition, bro. When everybody, when I'm gonna say everybody, but when a lot of people were crying because the Rockets did not sign guard depth this summer, right? They got Dorian Finney-Smith, Clint Capella, Josh Okogie, and then they re-signed all the vets, right? So that's pretty much all they did this offseason. There's not a guard in that mix. And you traded away Jalen Green, who was a guard for us, and for some reason people think Campbell Moore's a guard, and we traded him away. He's not a guard. But we didn't get any like real guard depth outside of, I guess, Kevin Durant. They call him a shooting guard, but you know what I mean, we know he's like a 6'11", 7 foot like wing or whatever, right? One thing people were talking about is, well, why didn't we use that last roster spot, that last vet min on Tyus Jones or DeAnthony Melton or Malcolm Brogdon? And I kept saying, I was like, bro, how many of those guys are better than Aaron Holiday? That was the question I kept posing this offseason. And everybody kept telling me, nah, bro, we need Tyus Jones. Tyus Jones is averaging, I think, 2 points per game on like 48 true shooting right now. Like,
really quick on Tyus Jones, he makes their team awful. There's a whole hit piece on him,
yes,
describing how awful he was.
And this is not nothing new. He was bad on the Suns last year too, bro. Like, Malcolm Brogdon is in retirement. I don't think DeAnthony Melton has played. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all these guys out there, I kept saying it, bro. A good point guard is not on a vet min. He's not. That they don't, like, I don't think people understand how rare it is to be a good point, and not just play point guard, to be good at it, to play that position to the level that people are asking for. Bro, that is not common. And the guys who do it are not making vet mins. And so my biggest point this offseason was, we can cry all day because we didn't sign this guy or that guy. How many of those guys are better than Aaron Holiday? That was the question I asked on this podcast, on my podcast, on TikTok. I asked that question multiple times. How many of them are better than Aaron Holiday? Because I kept saying, I don't think any of them are, respectfully. I don't think none of those are better than Aaron Holiday. And so far this season, Aaron don't play that much. When he plays, you've been seeing Aaron Holiday's an NBA player. He's a rotation piece, right? I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's some sort of star, like elite six man. He ain't that good. But in terms of a seventh, eighth, ninth man on a team that's trying to go deep into the postseason, he is absolutely one of those guys. And we're seeing that now in real time.
Real quick, before B. Scott goes, I want to rattle off Tyus Jones's last 11 games point total. I'll start right now. We'll start from bottom to top. 0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-0-3. That's his last 11 games. So, yeah. Yeah, that wasn't going to be the guy. Trust me. No. He's playing some like 10 minutes a game. So, yeah.
And that's because his minutes have been going down because he's making that team worse.
Yeah, well, he went up to 25 in the last one and put up 3 points. But we'll go to B. Scott.
Like, Aaron Holiday's averaging 7 points on 72 true shooting right now. He's shooting 48% from three. Like, I'm sorry, man. There's not that many guys on vet men's and free agents who can give you that production.
Look, I don't want to pour cold water on Will's victory lap or dismiss the people that were, like, not happy about the Rockets not signing any guard depth in the offseason. But I just don't understand how people – like how this is a revelation. Like,
yeah, it shouldn't be.
Like Aaron Holiday was getting the minutes over a not ready yet Reed Shepherd last year and was fine in the role. Like, you didn't want too much Aaron Holiday, and I think there were times where it felt like there was maybe too much of him last year. But for what you would ask him to do ideally, which I think is more so what he's doing now as opposed to maybe some of the moments last year, like, I feel like he is proving himself to be a worthwhile NBA depth piece and depth player. You know, those of us that watch the Rockets on a night in and night out basis, I would expect to kind of know this by now just based off of what he's already shown us. So, like, I just don't get how this would be a revelation to people.
Shouldn't, man.
Especially again, given the role, and like, I would point back to Reed Shepherd, like, stepping up. Like, Reed Shepherd is now performing in a way where you don't need to overexpose Aaron Holiday, right? Because Reed Shepherd is kind of playing more to standard. And I think that kind of just puts everybody in their proper pecking order. I'm good with the Aaron Holiday minutes when I got to get them, man. And look, kind of going back to the overview, how about the fact that there's, like, nobody on this team? Like, who on this team would you say right now is like a disappointment. We've pointed out our disappointed moments throughout the season so far. Like, who would you be? Who would be your biggest disappointment right now?
Me and Will can count to three and say the same person.
I'm going to say Amen.
Amen? Okay.
But that's good because Amen is still good. Like, if Amen is your biggest disappointment, you're doing pretty good.
You're going to say Clint Capela? I never had no expectations for him, so I can't be disappointed.
Clint Capela,
this is what he looks like. That's what I thought he was going to look like.
Shout out to the fact that you don't need Clint Capela to be prime. Clint Capela, yeah, like, right, like we were expecting. Like, I remember when they signed him, I'm like, well, if Clint Capela is your new Jock Landale and you got Kevin Durant on the team and a emerging Amen Thompson and an emerging Alperen Şengün and an emerging Reed Shepherd and Jabari Smith Jr., I can live with whatever Clint Capela minutes I gotta have. You know, it's kind of like just a lesser version of Aaron Holiday. Like, obviously Aaron Holiday gives you much more than Clint Capela does, but like, I'm not trying to over rely or overexpose this one player, you know, it kind of just to the point that I was making, like the stars have played like stars and the role players have starred in their roles for the most part, with some exceptions, but for the most part. And that's one of the, you know, better things that I can say about the Rockets this season.
I'll say this really quickly. I tweeted out, I always, you know, have love for Clint Capela, but, and I was talking about, you know, the defense, the rebounding has been exceptional. I'll give him that. But his touch, man, I just pulled the numbers. It seems like anytime he throws up a hook shot, it's just off. And again, he's seventh percentile right now in shots in the paint. He's shooting 16% on shots in the paint, non-restricted area. So anytime you see that hook shot going up, it's not going to drop. So I would say he's been a disappointment. But I
realize it was that bad.
No, it's bad.
It's worse than I thought.
It's bad because the touch, it looks like it's a loud miss when he misses. It's not like, okay, he barely missed it.
Yeah.
Nah, he's really missing him. But yeah, when it comes to Amen Thompson, and we'll get to him.
I don't want to, before we go to Amen, I want to say some things about Aaron and then Capela.
Before I jump to Amen, I'll say something about Aaron really quickly because Rob actually brought up a point. He said, are we talking about him being better than Reed? We're not talking about that. And you also mentioned Rob. I'm trying to find your comment. You said you wanted him to be more of a point guard. I want to pass a little more. I'll say this about Aaron Holiday. I actually prefer him when he's not passing as much. When he's trying to do too much and trying to get outside of his role, that's when he's kind of playing bad. We saw that more so last year. He had to step outside of his role, and it just didn't look as good, in my opinion. But what we're seeing right now is that's the Aaron Holiday I want to see. You know, he's not doing too much, but he knows he's an excellent shooter. He's always around 40% from three in his career. So I like him focusing on this. He is a guard. He's not necessarily a point guard. He's like a small two guard, but he's doing an excellent job right now. So I'm very content with what Holiday's been doing for us. Go ahead, Will.
He's a career 39% shooter. He's not a point guard in this. Yeah. Like, I keep trying to tell y'all, bro, those guys are not making vet men's. Like, a guy who plays the role point guard is not on a vet men contract, bro. It's a dying breed, and the guys who do it at a good level are getting paid. Like, it's not a – I think people think you can just materialize a point guard onto the roster. It don't work that way. What I was going to say is what you were kind of talking about, though, with Aaron Holiday. I think – because I very early on, like year one, had a love-hate relationship with Aaron Holiday. And the reason why is because I love when Aaron Holiday plays in that kind of connective piece role where he's catching the ball, shooting the ball, catching the ball, driving, taking the floater, getting to the rim, making those secondary assists. I did not like the Aaron Holiday that was trying to run an offense. Because respectfully, he's not good at that. That's not what he does. He's not a good decision maker with the ball. I don't think he's good enough off the dribble score to justify that much usage. I think he's best when he's playing off of someone like Şengün, like Amen. And you saw yesterday, a lot of the reason why he was cooking is because when the defense would shift to Amen or it shift to Şengün, they would find him. They ran a lot of guard-to-guard screens with Amen and Aaron Holiday yesterday. And obviously when you have the 6'7 demon running downhill, probably going to show a lot more attention to that guy as opposed to the 6'2, 6'3 guard who just popped out for the three. And then Amen Thompson did a really good job of finding like I said, Aaron on those pops, the different stuff like that. So, that's when he's at his best. I don't like it when he was trying to do the point guard stuff. And that was something we saw him do a lot, especially that first season in Houston that I did not like. But Yeah, when he's in this role, I think he's really, really good. And that's like I said, that's the role. Like I said, I don't know too many guys who you're gonna sign on a vet man contract who's gonna give you better production than that. The Capella stuff, one, no, it doesn't surprise. I could have told you, but going into the season, Capella was not going to have it. If you watched him with the Hawks last year, so, you know, that version of him that was catching them lots from James Harden, Chris Paul died a couple years ago, bro. Yeah, he ain't that guy no more. So when we signed him, that's part of the reason why I was kind of confused, because it was like, whoa, like he's kind of not that guy no more. And we already have, you know, guys at that position. But when I said at the time as well, I look at Capella as a human trade exception. And I know that sounds kind of like, that's kind of messed up to call a human being a trade exception. But like, it reminds me a lot of, y'all remember when Daryl Morey gave Nene that contract that one, I think it was 2019. And it was like I want to say it got outlawed the very next year. And I'm like, the whole point of the contract, Nene was never on the team. He never played. I don't think he even went to practice or showed up to the games. He was getting paid. I forgot. I'm like $4 million. I forgot how much it was, but he was getting paid to sit at home with the express purpose of, at some point in time this season, we're going to trade you, and we're going to just trade your salary, not like you, the player. You're probably going to get waived and retired the second you get traded. But like, the only reason you're not officially retired, the only reason you're still on the roster, is so we can trade you. Mm-hmm. I think Clint Capella is a little bit akin to that. Now, he's obviously going to play a bit more than Nene did, because Nene didn't play at all. I don't think he's even on the roster, to be completely honest with you. Capella's going to be in practice. He's going to sit on the bench. In games like yesterday where we're short staff, he's going to play. But I think that the reason Stonegate, because, I mean, let's keep it a mean, he's not worth $7 million a year. I think the reason he got that $7 million a year is so that when the deadline comes, you can trade him, right? Because obviously, if you don't have that money to trade, talking about trading, what is it?
That's mad funny.
I think that's the only, is that the only lob he's caught this year? I think it might be, bro.
Probably.
I can't remember any other ones. Like, it's just not what he does no more. But what was I saying? Like, you don't want to trade KD. You don't want to trade Shingun. You don't want to trade DFS and Tari and Jabari and Manrique. You got to trade somebody, right? When you want to trade someone, you got to trade someone. So that $7 million of Capella's money, I think, is tradable salary. I'm not saying they're going to trade him this deadline, but I am like 90% sure he doesn't finish his career as a Rocket. I think he gets traded at some point in time. And I think that's why he was signed, was to give the Rockets, because like, maybe you decide, hey, at that point in time in free agency, none of these guys left really make sense for our team, or the guys we do think make sense for our team are either gone or want a price that we can offer them. Let's just, instead of letting this money just go to waste, let's use it on something. And then, like I said, we can, instead of having that money go to waste, we can trade it for what we want at the deadline or in the offseason, different stuff like that. So that's one of the reasons why, like, even though I've been preaching he don't need to play, you know what I'm saying? I think he's good on in that third backup center role. I think the signing still as a whole is good. And the reason why is because I think at some point in time, either the deadline this offseason or sometime, you know, in the distant future after that, is going to get moved. And I think whatever you're going to get moved for is going to be tangible. And you're going to see, like, that's why he got signed. So that's all I had to say.
Nice. Yeah. Good to see Aaron Holiday hooping. I didn't expect him to come in sniping like this. So shout out to the team again. We'll mention they're first in the league in 3-point percentage, 42%. Back to our overview. I didn't even mention that. I mean, if you told me they were going to be shooting over 40% from three, man, I wouldn't have believed you. So it's great to see that Kevin Durant effect. And it's good to see that it's still, you know, alive and well. They shot 13 to 31 from three against Phoenix. So, hey, it's good to see that they're shooting well from deep. So when we transfer to this next topic, I want to say really quick, because I haven't yet, make sure to like and subscribe. Again, we have like 20 minutes left in the live show, so throw in some comments and questions, and we'll make sure to get to them. I wanted to say this. Yeah, Amen Thompson. Yeah, we're on to him. He's been stepping up. Before, I'll throw it to B. Scott first. I wanted to rattle off his stats. 9-game sample size isn't the best sample size. I know that's pretty specific, but I chose the sample for a reason. He's shooting 93% in his last 9 games. I said it on stream yesterday and everyone got mad at me because they thought I was going to jinx it, but he didn't shoot another free throw, thankfully. But yeah, he's shooting 93% in his last 9 games from the free throw line. I think that's excellent. On 3 attempts, not the most attempts. I'd like to see him get to the line more, but I think free throw shooting is a huge indicator of a player's shot in the future. So if he's a good free throw shooter, I think that shot will come along eventually. So it's good to see that he's hitting those free throws for sure. In that same sample, he's averaging 19.75, 2 steals a game, 0.6 blocks. So, yeah, again, last game, he was hooping 28, 7, 8, something like that. So What do y'all think about Amen Thompson? I know we mentioned earlier, you know, he's been a disappointment as a whole this year. Hasn't been the best version of himself per se, but last game he really stood out in my opinion.
Yeah, I was willing to give him a little bit more grace, even though I agree with kind of we had an overall point of him just kind of playing bad and at the very least not good. Like I was at not good enough. I think Will was at bad. He's been playing bad.
Oh, no. I don't think he's been playing bad.
I meant like last week when he was. I think like last week when we talked about him. Like,
yeah.
I think he did. He was cutting up last week.
I'm not trying to say he's making the team worse, right? Like, right. We're not worse with him on the court. I think maybe I was saying bad relative.
And I'll say this. I pulled the numbers. Yeah. The two games before we recorded, Amen shot 6-17 from the field and 4-13 from the field. So
yes,
that was what was fresh on our minds.
Right, because we do this once a week. And look, I wasn't trying to.
No. You're good.
Words and will paint him in a corner. I was trying to really reflect the fact that all three of us had. I think based off of the expectation, I was thinking about this earlier. It's different once you place expectations on a player and decide that he's in a certain tier or, you know, on a certain level or whatever it is, right? And for the way Amen Thompson was playing at the time, like if it was last year's Amen Thompson, we would have taken it. But the Amen Thompson that we were expecting for this year and really how he kind of was playing in some of those earlier games, you're like, nah, this has to look different. This has to be better. He's at a point now where you can demand more of him. You don't have to like coddle him or baby him, you know, if he's not playing up to the standard. Yeah. So I feel like that's what all three of us were trying to do at the time, you know, just to kind of be clear about it. Mm-hmm. And then for sure, like almost immediately after we do our thing last week, he starts doing some of the things that we wanted him to do and starts kind of looking like closer to how we wanted him to look. And my point even last week was like, you know, as long as he's getting downhill, I'm still going to be like overall encouraged. And there was a quote from him. I didn't actually see this or hear or see him say this, but I read this quote in like one of those game stories that they do. It was either on ESPN or NBA.com. One of those game stories where he's like, he's like, yeah, they're lagging off of me. Not because.
Oh, he said post game.
Yeah. Because I can't shoot, but because they're scared of me. And
he said that last game. Yeah.
Yeah. And something to the effect that he's just going to constantly try to get downhill or force the issue or something to that effect. I'm paraphrasing at that point, but you get the point. Like he is, I feel like as long as Amen Thompson remains aware of himself, remains self-aware, like of who exactly he is and don't forget it. You're Amen Thompson, you're different and like play that way, you know? And I think he's done that over the last couple of, especially last night. Mm-hmm. Or especially against us in the Suns game, mm-hmm. where he's getting downhill, he's getting his paint touches. Thought he did a better job finishing early in the game. There were some moments where I felt like, oh, here we go again. Are we having like finishing issues? But for the most part, obviously it was a really good game for him. And I think as long as he's getting downhill, confident in the mid range, I have not loved as much the 3-point shooting, but I love that he's confident in it and willing to take it. I'm pretty much good with him in Thompson. And of course he made some spectacular defensive plays as well. That block, you know, is like another, like just a, I don't know if we like are having getting to a point to where a man makes a play. We're just like shoulder shrug. We don't really care anymore. Cause you know, he does it every night or you kind of expect it, but I still marvel at it. So yeah, man, a man is definitely stepping up. And obviously they need him, especially, you know, if you're going to be without KD for a couple of games. I think at KD's age, we can sometimes maybe expect him to miss games or two. I know this is not related. This is a family matter. But, you know, your best player is 37 years old, you know. So, like, I mean, you're going to need a Amen Thompson to be a different level player than what he was last year. So, I've been good with how he's played over the last week or so.
There goes that quote. Shout out to Red Sky. He put in the comments. The men said they're backing up, not because I can't shoot, but because they're scared of me. I'm trying to put pressure on the rim every time.
There we go.
So,
there we go.
I 100% agree. As long as he's going downhill, I mean, I think he's at his best. We saw that in the last game. Some of those acrobatic layups, inverted Euros that he's able to pull off. He's been doing this since he got to the league. But, man, it is so impressive. And he had two in a row where he hit an inverted Euro into like a a crazy hang time float, and the next time down, he hit like a, I don't even know what to call it, but he hit a crazy layup. And yeah, it just speaks to his talent. It's one of one for sure. And I'm just happy he's okay. He had a hard fall. I forget what quarter it was, maybe third, in the third quarter.
I was the fourth.
Yeah, fourth. From the initial angle, I thought he was cooked and had like a CJ Stroud level concussion. But it looked like he didn't even hit his head. It was just kind of like a, again, as he hit his chin. And
am I crazy for thinking like sometimes he even looks awkward to me because of how different he is? Like it almost sometimes even looks clunky because he's so athletic. And it's like sometimes the Euros look like, I'm like, oh, is he going to travel? Is he going to shoot here? Like sometimes it just doesn't
look as it looks.
I guess because it's just something about him is unconventional because he's such a good athlete and he's so fast. And you know, they talked about him being, you know, in that NBA GM survey about being the fastest with the basketball. Mm-hmm. Like there's just something quirky about him because of how athletic he is, you know. I mean, it's just impressive on a night in and night out basis.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think he definitely loses the ball a ton at times. He has to work on his handle. I don't know if I would say quirky.
There's something awkward about him.
Yeah.
But like in a good way, like in a way that I feel like throws off the defense. They're not really exactly sure what to do with him.
I will say this. There was one possession where the ball got knocked into the backcourt and a mid had a full head of steam. He ended up getting fouled on his play, but he hit a really nice behind the back. And I thought he was going to put together a highlight level play. But he did get fouled, as I mentioned. But yeah, it's fun to watch this guy for sure when he's got the athleticism is on full display. That was like a peak Amen Thompson like viewing experience. And I wanted to say this. There's a guy on Twitter who said he wasn't tweeting until Amen scored 30. It's been a month since he said that. Amen had 29. So. I'm hoping he gets that 30 ball soon for you. But, yeah, on Amen Thompson, I hope he builds off this last game. It was great to see him step up, especially in a game where KD was sitting. Everyone was looking at him like, hey, we need you to hoop. We need you to hoop. And he went out there again, had 28, 8, and 7. So I was extremely impressed by what Amen Thompson was able to put together.
Twitchy is a good word from Bomb 4011.
Yeah, shout out to Bomb. I agree with that, too. Yeah. If nothing else on those notes, there are some topics in the comments section that we can speak on. Someone mentioned Reed. Why is Reed so bad at free throws? So Reed Sheppard hasn't.
It's just low volume.
Yeah, very, very low volume. And it's not an excuse, right? But, I mean, over the course of the season, that's going to change.
No, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty sure what happened is I'm going to look it up to confirm.
He's at 71%. Sure. Go ahead.
Let me do it this way. I want to say what probably happened is probably a game where he shot like 2 of 4
and then
1 of 2 or something like that. Yeah. Cause like he's not a bad free throw shooter. He just,
I think, you know, it's just like, it's been sporadic throughout the year. Like he's 1 of 2, 3 of 3, 0 of 1, 0 of 1, 2 of 2.
Yeah. Like you throw
he's just
in
not really taking a bunch of free throws, to be honest.
Yeah. That's what it is. Like he's not a bad, like if Reed Tepper got sent to the free throw line, I'm not holding my breath. Like, oh, is he going to, I think he's going to make it. It's just,
yeah.
He's had games where he's, consistent. Let me look it up.
Yeah.
He went 4 of 6 one day. And then, let's see, that's 2 of 2.
Yeah, that was the game he missed 2 straight free throws.
0-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
B. Yeah, I was just going to say, he's to the line so infrequently that his free throw shooting just has not even
stood out. He's averaging 1 free throw a game through 15 games. So he's taking,
that's
15, 16 free throws this year.
Because if you're only getting to the line once a game, if you miss one time, that's going to cook your percentage. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Like, no, I don't think he's a bad free throw shooter. It's just he doesn't get there that much.
Mm-hmm. So we mentioned here, Amen Thompson is Mr. Fourth Quarter. My stat engine, like a pool. I actually don't know what he's averaging in fourth quarters, but he's averaging, a 64 true shooting, 5 points in the fourth quarter. So that's good to see. He did cook in that last one. So, again, the more go-to guys you have, the better. Shangun's been excellent down the stretch. Of course, KD's been really good down the stretch. So having an extra piece like that is also definitely important. Do you guys see any comments you guys like? I can start starring some stuff. Everyone's talking about DFS. DFS is stealing money. It's crazy. We still haven't had an update. Well, I don't know about you, B. Scott. I don't know about you. If y'all get radio call-ins, like, what's up with DFS? Because I swear every single day, and Will, maybe you get the same thing, I'll see at least one. What's up with DFS? Is DFS coming back soon?
Hey, so remember, I don't know. You remember earlier when I was like, what's the biggest disappointment? you know, you know what I'm saying? The biggest disappointment really for the Rockets right now got to be just the one guy that hasn't played, and to the point of not really missing him that much. You know, I mean, obviously they could use him, right? He's a useful basketball player, but they're 11-4. They've only lost to really good teams. So, but that would be the disappointment, right? Of like, we were having conversations, overall general Rockets public of DFS going to start. And I think us here on this show might actually still think that he's a starter on this team. I'm not really sure now.
I think he should start.
I certainly thought that at the beginning of the year. I think maybe you could make some arguments now based off of how other guys have played. But, I mean, that's how good and how quality of a player we're talking about. And he hasn't played, and we don't really know. I don't really have a great sense for what his timeline might even be. So that's kind of going back to my earlier question, would be like my disappointment of the year so far.
Yeah, I'll say this. It was funny though, because on the media day, I think a Windhorse was there, and he said it quickly, like, "What's up with his ankle injury?" And none of us knew about that at the time. He obviously knew what was up. The Rockets knew what was up when they signed him. Again, it was what, $13 million a year? Again, that's a pretty really good deal for DFS for 4 years. So they knew what they were getting themselves into. And he spoke on it. He usually likes to play, you know, on injuries, and he likes to rush himself back. But this is the one time he was like, you know, "I'm just going to chill and let this injury heal itself." But they didn't say it was going to take a few months. They were speaking like it was going to be a few games into the regular season. So hopefully, you know, again, no update, but hopefully there's no setback there. And we'll see what happens. But again, it's a great sign that they're still 11-4 without him. And I think they're going to be much better when they get him, because as we mentioned, I think he's a starter level player on this team. So, yeah, we'll see what happens on that note. But yeah, I guess he has been a disappointment. I hope it doesn't last too long. I am excited to see him play for this team.
I think he comes back next month.
I would love that. We better beat the Warriors. No KD. They've been playing very bad. I think we can still win that.
Draymond's questionable. He's not playing. He may not play tomorrow. So, man, knowing that loser, he's going to get up to play us, though.
Who are they saying has been playing bad?
Everyone not named Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That team is bad.
Yeah, that's not a good team. But it doesn't matter if they're good or bad when they play the Rockets. So, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I was going to say, Steph had, like, how many threes did he have last night? Like, six?
That's a good question to have to check.
I think he went off. I think Steph went off against Utah.
They're playing today, no? Don't they play today?
That is a good question.
So I was going to say, Steph in his last three has 31, 38, and 34.
Yeah, so yeah. My God. Yeah, Steph's been going crazy.
His last one, two, three, four, five, six, it
hasn't really mattered about those other guys because Steph has been having those Steph moments. That's not going to be enough against the Rockets if they just show up, you know. Mm-hmm. So
no, for I'm sure.
Looking forward to that.
Steph's last six, he's got 46, 49, 34, 38, 31. He had a 9-point game, but they won that game by 20. So yeah, he's been hooping. So. Got a hold, Steph. That never changes. On the schedule note, before we jump to the next question, we do have like six more minutes. So, again, keep throwing in some questions. We'll try to get to them. Before our next recorded show, we have the Jazz on a back-to-back. The Rockets' actual first back-to-back of the season. Everyone's been complaining about the Rockets not having a back-to-back. And you're like, why don't they have a back-to-back? We've had five back-to-backs. I think Lakers fans are saying that. But we had 14 back-to-backs total this year. I think at the most the team had was 17. So it was good to see us lose some back-to-backs. But, yeah, it looks like they're all going to be in a similar stretch starting next month. So that's going to suck. But, yeah, they do have Utah on a back-to-back. Thankfully, it's Utah. You don't want to sleep on Utah. I do think they're a competitive team. No, they'll give you a fight. I think that second leg of the back-to-back is actually going to be tough. It's actually a baseball doubleheader, too. I like that. Back-to-back games in Utah. Just knock them out. I think the NBA should do more of those. But, yeah, so Golden State, and then you got Utah twice, and then we record. So I'd like to see us go 3-0 in those games for sure. Again, Utah will be tough, especially the second one, but it should handle business, in my opinion. And you're going to have KD back. What do y'all think?
Easy wins. Should be easy wins.
Concur.
Yeah. Yeah, no, same. I mean, like – and we talked about this earlier about like handling business against the bad teams. That's how you stay, you know, afloat or stay relevant. and you know, hopefully taking care of business against some of the better teams that they haven't. But like, yeah, no, nah, I mean, and then the first of the back to backs, like for me, I'm welcoming that. You know, going back to our earlier conversation about the depth and some of the players that have really stepped up for the Rockets, out even outside of the stars, like that's going to be important for you once you once those back to backs start picking up. You're going to need to rely on, you know, the Aaron Holidays of the world. And you know, obviously, you know, hopefully you get Dorian Finney-Smith back, and Josh Okogie is somebody that you know is more than playable, you know. So, like, those are good things going forward. And just, like, the Jazz, you know, I'm a couple of years older than y'all. Like, the Jazz, I don't know if I hate a franchise more in sports. So, like, at all.
Yeah,
across any level. So, like, yeah. I don't need no motivation to want them to take down the Jazz. They could be 0-11, and I would be out there like, yeah, nah, this the one game you need to go get is against them bad boys.
I'm gonna tell you this: my first heartbreak for the Rockets was I was a little too young for the Mavs when they lost, when they were up 2-0. That was my first time really watching hoops. I was like 7, but man, when I tell you, man, I was sick to my stomach when they lost to Utah those 2 years in a row. That was like my first time really locked into hoops. So I know it goes way further back than that, but that's my experience with Utah. Carlos Boozer, Darren Williams, you know, Andre Kirilenko, that team, I can't believe they didn't beat them. But
yeah, see the so higher heights 3105 says facts. John Stockton syndrome is still real.
Yeah, that game when he hit. Yeah.
No, I was 8 for that one. Ooh, so that's my that's my kind of introduction into like Rockets heartbreak and you know that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'll say this really quickly. On the Utah front, oh my God, I lost my train of thought. So I'll skip what I was going to say, and I'll jump to this question about the rotation against the Warriors. What do we think the rotation should be? Honestly, I would do the exact same thing we did in that last game. If you don't go double big to start, you don't have to play Clint Capella minutes. I was trying to advocate for my guy, but I can't that touch it. It's bad. He shouldn't really be playing. So I'd like to go that same lineup. I like what we didn't speak about it in this podcast. I don't know how, but JD Davidson played excellent in those minutes. He didn't do a lot, but he played excellent. He played like an excellent role player. We spoke about it in the preseason. He knows his role. He's not doing too much. He was out there making really good contests, making the extra pass, knocked down a three, got a steal, transition, got a dunk. Love that he saw minutes. I didn't expect him to play in that game, but he did an excellent job. So I would go with that exact same rotation. Take out Clint, throw in JD Davidson. That's what I would say.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed on all fronts. No notes. Who would y'all – are y'all guarding Steph with a Kogi or with a Min? I mean, obviously
Amin.
You're going to mess it up.
Amin did a good job on him in the playoffs. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's Amin.
Yeah. Do you guys
– I only throw it out there, obviously, because it's increased offensive role. But I agree. Like, I mean, that's what he does. That's who he is. So,
yeah. They asked if we hate the Jazz more than the Spurs. This could be – we may get one more after this.
Great question. I mean,
For us, we'll throw that to you, B. Scott. Because me, Will and I, for us, it probably have to be what? OKC and
– I have no beef with the Jazz. They've been terrible my entire life as an NBA fan. So
I have no
beef with the Jazz.
I don't have to pick. And look, I got enough room for the beef, man. Look, I got beef for both of them, you know. So
right.
Yeah, nah, I definitely hate the Spurs, and the Jazz are you know, I guess at this point, like kind of Will saying, you know, they've been irrelevant his whole life. It's like a victory lap, you know. Like I just enjoy being better than them, but I do still hate them, though, and it's deep rooted.
So. I figured I was gonna say, and it's getting this on a good note. The Rockets this year had the number one net rating in the entire NBA. When they're playing against a bottom 15 team in the league, net rating wise, they're winning those games by 18.7 points per 100 possessions, which is a lot. So, yeah, handle business against Utah in those two games. They've been doing that this season. Props to them. Again, take care of the bad teams, and you'll see your record skyrocket. So, that's what they should do. But, yeah, we're rounding out to that hour mark. So, if you're here, we appreciate you. If you haven't, you know, subbed or liked yet, please do so. We're here every Tuesday. We'll try to do a better job promoting this so we can get some people in here when we first start. But again, that was an episode of the Rockets Collective. We appreciate y'all for tuning in. Had a great time, and we'll see you guys next week. Thank you. And of course, enjoy your Thanksgiving. We'll see y'all.